John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're continuing our series on the Trinity as we try to wrap our minds around this idea as best as we can. Right, we talked about this last week, that this is a concept that we will never fully understand, because, quite frankly, it is beyond the capability of our minds to grasp it. You say, well, then why bother, right? Why bother? If we can't fully understand it, then who cares? Well, there's some important reasons why we've worked through this idea of the Trinity. The Trinity is not a word or a concept that is in the Bible. You can't look up verses in the Bible that say this is the Trinity. But there's evidence all through Scripture that we worship one God, and that there is God the Father, and that there is Jesus the Son, who is also God, and there is the Holy Spirit, who is also God. And so, in early Christianity, it took them about 400 years to really work through all this and to figure out what do we really understand about the Trinity. And so, we're taking a couple weeks to try to wrap our minds around it a little bit. Today, we're talking about the Son. In the beginning was the Word. The Word being Jesus. We don't have any kids here today, but in my children's message, I was going to talk about what is a word? What does a word do? We use words to explain, to communicate. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Right? Sometimes it takes 1,000 words to describe something that you're trying to describe if you don't have a picture of it to show. We use words to convince, to teach, to express love. These are all things that Jesus does, right? He communicates with us. He expresses love to us. He teaches. These are all aspects of the Word. You know, we began last week by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's always been a central principle, a central belief of both Judaism and Christianity, that we worship one God. And yet we try to understand how God expresses himself in these three persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I mentioned a few different examples, ideas that could help us try to understand the Trinity. But frankly, they all fall apart. There is no perfect example of how to do it. And one that gets used a lot is the idea of water. That water can be liquid water, it can be solid ice, or it can be gas as a vapor. But they're all water. They're all H2O. But here's where that illustration falls apart as we use it to think about the Trinity. Water can never be liquid and solid at the same time. Right? You can put an ice cube in a glass of water, but you've got molecules that are solid and molecules that are liquid. That molecule can't be both. It can't be liquid and vapor at the same time. And this was one of the things that they had to wrestle through in early Christianity, is they tried to figure out, what do they believe? And some people did believe that there was one God who just showed up in three different ways. That sometimes God showed up as the Father, and sometimes God showed up as the Son, and sometimes God showed up as the Spirit. But as you dig into that a little farther, it falls apart. Imagine you go to the theater. Jody and I like to go to the theater from time to time. You go to the theater, and it's a one-man play. And the actor comes out on the stage, and he introduces himself as the king. And at the end of scene one, the actor goes off stage, and he comes back out in a different costume, and he introduces himself as the knight. And at the end of scene two, he goes off stage, and he comes back out in a different costume and introduces himself as the king's messenger. Might make for an interesting play, but there's no relationship. You're seeing the same person in different costumes relating different ideas. And that's what would happen if we believe that God was just expressing himself in three different ways. It's not a relationship. It's God just putting on different costumes or different masks. And we know that's not how God operates. See, the gospel tells a different story. The gospel tells us that the Father sends the Son. And what does the Son do? The Son obeys the Father. The Son prays to the Father. The Spirit descends on the Son. This isn't a one-man play. This is real, deep relationship. So why is that important that we don't fall into that idea? This idea, by the way, is called modalism. I'm sure you'll remember that on Wednesday. But that's the idea, because we're talking about, this is the idea that God just expresses himself in different modes. So they called it modalism, right? And this is why it's important that we understand that this is not how the Trinity works. Because if the Son is just another mode of the Father, then Jesus wasn't really sent. God was just acting. Jesus isn't really obeying. He's talking to himself. And he's not really revealing God. He's just changing masks. And we know that is not the God that we serve. It flattens the love that is at the heart of the gospel. If there's one thing we learn about God in the gospel story, it's love. It's the way that God the Father loved the Son, the way that God the Father loved the world enough to send his Son into the world. How many times does the Bible tell us to love our brother, to love our neighbor, to love our enemy? Over and over, the Bible tells us to love. And over, especially in Paul's writings, he says to look back at the love that the Father has shed on us, the love that God shows to us, and to pay that forward, to let that love pour out into others. See, the good news is that God didn't come to earth and pretend to be human for a while. The good news is that the Son willingly came, sent by the Father. He willingly came to live here on earth, to express the joy and pain of life that you and I have experienced? To experience the temptation that you and I experience? And to become the perfect sacrifice on the cross? To pay the penalty once and for all for sin? And then to conquer death and become the firstborn of the resurrection? That's the good news. You see, this idea of modalism, it turns Jesus into another costume that God wears. But the Trinity, the gospel in the Trinity, proclaims that Jesus is the Son that God sends because he loves us. So this passage that Emily read from John chapter 1, it begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is fully God. The story of Jesus doesn't start in Bethlehem. Right? Jesus' human body was born in Bethlehem. But John is telling us here that Jesus was there in the beginning. It says, "In him were all things made. Nothing was made not through him." Right? Anything that was made through him. We have scriptures that say, "And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." He's not just a junior version of God. Jesus is fully God in the flesh. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And he was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Colossians 1, 15 through 19 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Scripture goes to great pains to help us understand that Jesus is fully God. Last week we read together the Apostles' Creed, which is one of the central statements of our Christian faith. In all of these debates in the first few hundred years of the church, there were multiple creeds that were written. One is called the Nicene Creed that you might be familiar with. And there's a section in the Nicene Creed that says this. It says, "I believe in one Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made." And if you study church history, it's interesting. You know, I'm finishing seminary, and I've been taking some, you know, church history classes, and as I read this, right, all these different debates are popping up in my head, right? That each of these phrases was in response to one of these debates that they had, right? Where it says, "begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father." They were trying to wrestle with, well, did God create Jesus? Well, no, because if God created Jesus, then Jesus would be subordinate to God. And that doesn't work, right? So the word they use, here's another word that you'll remember this week, homoousis, right? That's the word that they were talking with, it being of the same substance, that God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, they're all the same homoousis. I know you're going to remember that now, right? I'll say it one more time just to make sure. Homoousis. You're going to remember that this week. I know you are. But it's important for us to understand that God the Father and God the Son are of the same substance. Jesus was not made by the Father. He was there in the beginning. I don't know if you can remember all the way back to Advent 2024, but we did a series called The Protagonist. And we began that series by talking about Hamlet. Do you remember this? We talked about Hamlet, and we said there was no way that Hamlet could ever know Shakespeare. Because Shakespeare was the author. Shakespeare wrote the story of Hamlet. The only way that Hamlet could ever know who Shakespeare was is if Shakespeare wrote himself into the story. And that's what God did at Advent. He wrote himself into our story so that we could know him. See, if you want to know the author, it's not enough just to read the book. If you want to know the author, you've got to meet the author. And God made a way for us to meet the author by sending his son to come in the flesh so that we could see who he was. See, Jesus is the author made visible. God is a relationship of love. This is the second thing that this idea teaches us, right? One of the reasons we said that this idea of water breaks down is because water can't be liquid, ice, and vapor at the same time, right? So how could God be the Father and the Son and the Spirit just showing up in different modes? If you look at the story of Jesus' baptism, do you remember this story? Jesus goes to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist is baptizing people. And Jesus goes down, and he says, I want you to baptize me. And John, of course, says, no, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, this is how it has to be. You have to baptize me. And so John baptizes Jesus. So we know that Jesus is present there. And then it says that the Spirit descended like a dove. So now we have the Holy Spirit present at the same time that Jesus is present. And then we hear the Father's voice from heaven, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So we have the Father, the Spirit, and the Son all in the same place at the same time. This is where the water illustration goes out the window. It doesn't work. And it's always in relationship. Here's that scripture from Matthew chapter 3. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the Father, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And please remember, as we wrestle with these ideas of Trinity, the Trinity is not a puzzle to solve. We want to learn and we want to try to understand it, but the ultimate goal here is to realize that the Trinity is a relationship, and it's a relationship that we are called to enter into. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's relationship. In John 14, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the relationship that God calls us into. And the third point today is that Jesus welcomes us into the life of God. See, through Jesus, we don't just observe the Trinity. It's not just an intellectual practice, but we're invited in. We're invited to become children of God. In our scripture today, in verse 12, it said, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to be children of God. That love that flows between the Father and the Son and the Spirit is the same love that is poured into our hearts. Romans chapter 5 says this, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." 1 John 4 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit." We're invited into this relationship. It's like being into an adopted family, being adopted into this family that has been loving for eternity. God calls us into that love. See, the Trinity is not just an abstract idea. It's at the heart of everything that we believe. So the challenge for you this week, our scripture said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This week, I want you to think about letting the Word become flesh somewhere in your life, in how you speak, how you act, how you show up. How does God show up in the flesh? He calls us to go into the world and make disciples. And how is that going to happen? It's by us allowing Jesus to work in us and through us. And I encourage you, in your devotional time, read that scripture that we read today, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Read it each day this week. Let it soak in. Sometimes we have our devotions and we just read to get to the end. Like, you might have a plan. Like, and this is not a bad thing, right? Some people have a plan, we're going to read through the Bible in a year. So the goal is just you're reading to get through. And there's a place for that. That's a good thing to do. But there's also a time where you should take a scripture and just let it soak in. I like the word marinade, right? Sometimes you have to just marinate in a lyric. You just got to let it sit and soak in. Take a scripture and just let it soak in and become a part of who you are. So I encourage you this week to do that with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Let it sink in. Because in Jesus, we don't just see God clearly, but we're invited into the relationship of the Trinity. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for this idea. This is a tough one for us to wrap our minds around. 1 doesn't equal 3, and 3 doesn't equal 1. And God, help us to understand what we need to understand about this. Help us to see the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. The love that is shared in the Trinity. And help us to see how you have invited us into that relationship, into that love. To experience that love, to receive that love, and then to share that love with those that we come in contact with. God, help us not to think of the Trinity as a puzzle, that we have to put it all together and get all the pieces just right. God, remind us that there are some things that you've called us just to accept and believe in faith. God, give us faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.